You know, if you walk long enough with God, not only will he give you friends, but he will send you brothers. And that's exactly who Kyle Rogers is in my life. Kyle is a pastor, speaker, and performance coach who equips individuals and teams to win in what matters most. But more than that, he's a friend and an example in my life, and I wouldn't be where I am today without his influence. Recently, he came through to Kansas City, and we hopped in the studio to talk about life, leadership, and fatherhood. So I'm excited for you to meet him and jump into this conversation. Let's go. All right, everybody, welcome back to Making Varsity. My name is Brad Chandler, and hey, super excited. We're in person today here at the Content Pod in Lenexa, Kansas, in the Kansas City Metro. And so, hey, shout out to Nathan Fleming and the whole team here for letting us jump in. Guys, got a special guest today. I am super excited to jump into this conversation with keynote speaker and performance coach, my friend, Pastor Kyle Rogers. Kyle, what's up, man?
Brad, thrilled to be here, man. Good to see you, too.
Welcome to Kansas City. So glad that you're here. Got you on the back half of a speaking trip in Chicago. And, man, we've been friends for 6 years. And, man, it's just incredible to see what you're up to today. And, man, excited about this conversation.
I appreciate it, man. Thrilled to be made by Varsity today.
So, Kyle, you're wearing a lot of hats, a lot of different roles, pastor, speaker, now doing some events for other nonprofits, corporate training and things. But let's start from the beginning, okay? Right? Take me back to 2004 as a kid in Orlando, right? A young adult, and navigating some of those early seasons, because I think some people see where you're at today, right? Speaking up to, you know, speaking in front of up to 20,000 people a year, all over the country, doing coaching online events. We'll talk a little bit about that later, but really starting from the beginning, and your journey is really one of learning from mistakes and overcoming adversity. So take me back to the beginning, to 2004, and then we'll kind of chop it up from there.
Gladly. The fun part, you and I have been friends for 6 years, so you know pieces of my story. But for the listeners today, we always walk into people's lives about 45 minutes late to the movie of their life. And so we're trying to piece together what's the plot, who's the main characters, and why is this happening the way it is. Mm. And so May 2004, I had a 30-day stretch of time where I lost my job, I got evicted from my apartment, and I got asked to leave school because of academic probation for 2 semesters, all within 30 days.
Wow.
My dad drives up to Orlando because I was at the University of Central Florida. For me, UCF stood for You Can't Finish.
Okay.
any knights out there will understand what that means. He took me to lunch at Chick-fil-A at the Altamont Mall. He looked at me and said, Kyle, I love you, but you are not coming home. And this began a journey for me that lasted 4-5 years of learning what it was like to take personal responsibility for the decisions you make, learn how to raise your hand and ask for help, and then learn how to take every courageous next step possible to move out of the immaturity of adolescence and into manhood, which requires a level of personal responsibility every single day.
Yeah.
This is where the urgency comes from for me to go, you've got to keep the right voices at the right volume.
Yes.
If you're going to do this, you've got to figure out which voices you're actually going to invite and filter them through. Are they helping me get closer to what I was called and created for, or are they just here to serve themselves or serve what I feel is best in the moment?
So even in you saying that, I mean, I picked up on a little bit of attention in terms of adulthood and growing and maturing and personal development. There's some independence and personal responsibility, but you also mentioned overcoming the pride to raise your hand and say, hey, I can't do this alone. Talk about why that tension is so important when it comes to personal development, wherever it is that we want to grow in our leadership.
One of the most difficult chapters of life for any individual, but I'll specifically talk about a young man for a moment, because one of my favorite audiences to have coffee, lunch, spend time with is young men between the ages of 19 and 26.
Yep.
Why? At 19, they call you a man.
Yep.
But we all know you have no idea what that actually requires yet.
100%.
By the time you're 26, you've developed this series of patterns and thought processes
yes.
that will carry into your 30s and your 40s. Mm-hmm. And so if we can capture attention between 19 and 26, and here we go, not try to course correct everything,
yeah.
but figure out where the lessons are in life in that chapter, you can begin to develop a track record and a pattern of healthy decision-making or reverse engineer when my decisions went sideways so that I can make healthy next decisions in the days to come.
Yeah.
And so it's in this moment right here that I found a lot of humility came into play.
Yes.
Because as a young man, the temptation is to feel I have to figure it out. Mm. But as someone who's seeking after what is best, you take a step back for a moment and go, I've never been there before.
Yes.
So it's only deceptive to myself
yeah.
to think that I should just be able to figure it out.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, it's what John Maxwell talks about, failing forward, you know? But the beauty of being in community and having healthy accountability and friendships around you is you're not going into uncharted waters. There are people who've gone before you who have made the mistakes and they have created maps and pathways. It's just that so often maybe we fall prey to maybe the temptation of independence being associated with adulthood or our own personal development, and we don't lean in for help. And I know that this has really been part of your journey over the years of opening up and being more vulnerable with people. Maybe talk a little bit about that season of your life where maybe you were a little more insular and maybe more private with your thoughts it kind of went beyond emotional boundaries, but was more of a wall, and the process that you went through to let people in.
We're really going deep on this one. I like it.
Make it varsity, baby.
Hey, what comes from the heart reaches the heart. So let's be incredibly candid here and just go. At some point, we have to admit two things. Mm. I haven't met an individual yet who didn't have trust issues. Mm-hmm. And the number one reason many of us have trust issues, which I still have them, that's why I'm in therapy.
Yeah.
But one of the number one reasons why we have trust issues is because of broken expectations. Mm. I expected you to do A, you ended up doing B, and now I have to reconcile what I see, feel, and experience as a result of broken expectations.
Yeah. Yeah.
And let's be honest, it only takes about 12 years on this planet to realize somebody is going to let you down.
Yeah. Yeah.
In that chapter of life, specifically between the age of 20 and 25, for our listeners, for context, I'm 40 now. Mm-hmm. So I've made enough mistakes. I've had to grow through those mistakes mm-hmm. and then make some really healthy decisions on the other side to realize now I'm in a spot where experience and wisdom are coming together to produce something where I can hand a set of experiences in life through principles and values to someone else and go, you're grown and I'm not telling you what to do, but I am suggesting that you investigate this process or this pattern.
Yeah.
For me, it came down to one very specific thing. I had to stop caring what people thought about me and move through the fear of rejection and the fear of failure.
Yeah.
There's only one way to succeed.
Wow.
It's a series of failures. Mm-hmm. And not everybody is going to like you. It's okay. I don't need to be everybody's cup of tea.
Yeah.
What I do need to be is who I was created to be. I realize all of our listeners may not have a faith-based perspective, and that's totally okay.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah.
My perspective comes from Scripture. Mm. And I totally believe that God not only has a plan for my life, but that He uses every single thing that happens in life to help develop me into the person He created me to be first.
Yes.
My number one responsibility is not living up to someone else's expectations. My number one responsibility is finding out who I was created to be by my Creator first. Mm. Then out of that comes the relationships that I have with others.
Yeah. And I love what you're talking about managing expectations, because you are probably one of the most emotionally intelligent people that I know. And it's one of the reasons that, you know, God has blessed my life with you being able to check in, even navigating some really, really difficult seasons.
Thank you.
Not just as a teammate, but as a friend. Mm-hmm. And I love what you're talking about managing expectations. Cause I think about some of the times that you've walked me through personally, whether it was facing rejection or facing, you know, certain levels of adversity. And it reminds me of this book that we read together on our team. Is from Dr. Henry Cloud, called Trust.
Yes.
He talks about the five elements of trust. And there's some that are a little more obvious, right? There's you trust a person because they have high character. You trust a person because they have integrity. You trust a person because they have a track record that points back to, you know, they have a record of being trustworthy. But one of the ones that surprised me, and I had heard you say it in my life before too, is, hey, some people just don't have the capacity to be trusted in certain areas. Like, I'm going to trust some people to be able to be a mechanic on my car, but I would not trust them to balance my books. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And I just remember maybe going through a hard season or, you know, having a rift in a particular relationship, and then just in confidence talking to you as a friend and going, man, I'm struggling with this. And then you kind of go, Brad, your expectations were probably beyond that, you know? And so, I mean, I think that's where things go off a lot in relationships. Is that fair to say?
Very fair to say. And the other challenge, which Dr. Henry Cloud should lean into this episode here, because we are going to mention him probably often, because we found so much value in the content that he has provided. Mm-hmm. One of the challenges becomes having a necessary ending.
Mm. Talk about it.
Necessary ending. Having a necessary ending in relationships does not mean that that person is bad, and it doesn't mean that you are better. It just means that the relationship in that capacity has come to its end.
Yes.
Some people are seasonal, and some people are meant to walk with you through every season of life.
Okay, so I want to push back before we get too into this. Like, I think that there's a habit now in our culture where when a necessary ending becomes apparent, what do? We just cut them off.
Yeah.
Or you ghost somebody, or you move on. Maybe you like speak to this as you're unpacking this. Yeah. How do you honor the season that was while bringing it to a close and the necessary ending that is needed? Yeah.
The level of personal responsibility to make sure to check your expectations at the door is a daily process.
Wow.
Checking your expectations of asking the question, are we growing in relationship or have I outgrown this relationship? A better courageous question to ask is, are we growing in this relationship or have you outgrown me in this relationship?
Mm.
Those are two very healthy questions to ask. It doesn't make a person bad, because what are we concerned about? We're concerned about letting people down.
Yeah.
We're concerned that we have to have a crucial conversation or a difficult dialogue where something changes in the relationship and that change makes us uncomfortable. Let's clear something up right now. Change is neither good nor bad. Change just is.
Yeah.
What you define it as is what change will become.
Right.
We're not wired to enjoy change, but we are all wired to experience change.
Yeah.
So it's in this. Am I making sense today?
No, it makes perfect sense. I think you even say, like in one of your keynotes in Make It Count, you talk about how we don't just change for change's sake, but we change to lead to more effectiveness.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
If change doesn't happen to lead me to effectiveness, then I'm just lost in the winds of change. And I'm not sure where the winds of change have blown me to.
Okay. Unpack that a little bit.
Absolutely. All right. Change is going to take place. For example, mm-hmm. I now have gray hair that I did not have 10 years ago.
Come on, sir.
This is called wisdom.
Unc status.
Kyle,
let's
is
go.
In the house. Let's talk about it.
Be careful.
You're
20 years from pops. So.
Hey, I'm fine with that. I'm the weird guy. I'm the weird guy who has waited his entire life to be 40.
Yeah.
I'm excited about being 60 one day. My life goal, I'll put it out there right now, is to be 100 years old.
Let's go.
This is what I desire to do. In this, though, change is inevitable. Mm. Change is going to happen. There's a mobility, a set of mobility exercises that you've seen me do as a friend, and you clown me for using my resistance band on a daily basis.
This man loves him some tools, man. He got his rubber bands.
Got my resistance band.
Warm his golf swing up.
It's exactly right.
He ain't
right.
pulling no muscles, y'all. It's happening.
So, no.
All right.
But I realize that change takes place. Yeah. An area that's been difficult for me when it comes to change is that I love to eat like I'm 22.
Uh-huh.
But I am not a college senior anymore. I am a 40-year-old man with real-life kids.
For sure.
The winds of change have come.
Yeah.
Okay? Either I'm going to let the winds of change blow me whatever direction that they want, and I'm not going to be intentional about making next steps, mm-hmm. or I'm going to realize that change is inevitable. And I'm going to have to be intentional about being flexible and adapting in every season of life.
Yeah. So, I mean, as you take those next steps
yes.
in personal development, talk a little bit about new mistakes versus old mistakes. Because that was one of the cultural values at the chapel, the church that I was on staff for some time. We talked about making a new mistake. So, What's the difference between maybe returning to some of those old patterns yeah. versus those new mistakes that give you data to move forward?
Absolutely. And shout out to our pastor, Pastor Q, the chapel. None better. The most secure leader that I have ever seen up close mm-hmm. and had the privilege of being able to be led by.
Yeah.
And he makes that statement all the time. Hey, make a new mistake.
Yep.
Why? A little street knowledge here. I've heard this phrase before that stupid people make the same mistakes over and over again.
There you go.
Smart people learn from their mistakes,
mm-hmm.
but wise people learn from everyone else's failures.
And I would say brilliant people find out how to make the mistakes faster so that they can learn from them and then you know, grow and build a foundation.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mistakes means that I tried.
Yeah.
Making the same mistake over and over again is actually a decision.
So your dad has been a voice yes. in my life in different seasons. And I remember one time I was navigating a particular season and I was like, look, I'm trying. He goes, no. There is no trying.
Yes.
There's only
training.
Training.
That's exactly
sounds like
right.
you've heard that before.
Oh, 1,000 times plus one.
Okay.
There's no try. That. There's only train.
Yeah.
Because to say that I tried indicates that I left space to make an excuse as an out clause.
Oh, yeah.
To say that I'm training indicates that I have made a commitment to follow this thing through come hell or high water.
Yes.
And let's just be honest. The most effective leaders are the ones who have made commitments.
Yes.
Now, you got Kenny Rogers. You got to know when to hold him.
Yep.
And know when to fold him.
Yep.
Know
yep.
when to walk away. Know when to run.
I love it.
Right? But in the same vein, a leader has made a commitment. I'll give you an example. I have a series of priorities in my life, and none of them have to do with succeeding in front of people.
Mm.
These main priorities of my life have to do with my relationship with God first and foremost, being growing and healthy on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
Then it is making sure that Danielle knows that I love her and I will show up for her as her husband until the day I leave this earth.
Mm.
And then the third priority I have is making sure that our two kids know that Dad is present, available, and will show up for them every opportunity that I get.
Yeah.
My measure of success is based upon how consistent I can be over a long period of time in these specific areas.
Yes.
This is not a moment for me to go, this is about self-development and self-help, even better said. No, this is a moment for me to go, these are my priorities.
Mm.
If my priorities are going to be this way, then my daily behaviors and patterns should point to the commitments that I said that I made.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In my calendar.
Yes.
In my disposition.
Yep.
In my character and in the way that I bounce back.
Mm-hmm.
Am I making sense?
You're making perfect sense. And I think, you know, there are different wirings and there are, and the behaviors that you're talking about lead to very significant success. I think one of the areas I'm growing in is I'm a sprinter, you know, and I love to start things, you know, I love challenges, you know, I love the fast pace and the energy and the chaos of an upstart. I think one of the things I was talking to a friend of ours, one of the common traits of entrepreneurs is they love the chaos of the beginning. But when it comes to really building a business over time, you have to bring that chaos into order. And I think that's something that you've always encouraged me in certain areas of my life is saying, hey, I love the passion. I love the energy. I love everything that you've got behind it. Hey, what would it look like if you were to just put small steps and sustainable rhythms that could get you to the same place? It just may be 6 months
yep.
Longer,
yep.
you know? And I think that that's probably something true especially in athletics.
Yeah, let's stick with your example about pace for a moment. Yeah. Maybe the most watched event at the Olympics is the men's and women's 100-meter dash. Mm. The light bulbs are out. The flash bulbs are going off. Everybody is tuned in. They want to see, is a record going to get broken? Is Jamaica going to win? Is America going to win? Like, who's going to be the fastest man, fastest woman in the world? The race that's probably not watched as much is the 1600-meter, the 1500-meter steeplechase,
yep,
where you're going around that track consistently. Mm-hmm. Here we go. At the end of the day, the winner of both of those races still receives the same gold medal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Simply put, we have to figure out, am I in a sprint? Because in a launch season for a new product, in a launch season where you're getting a business off the ground, it is a sprint and you're going to have to keep up and the eyes are watching. Mm. But life is not a sprint.
Yeah.
Life is long distance.
Yes.
And the goal has to be defined. And in many cases, we have to figure out what is the pace that's appropriate.
So a lot of my audience are people who are in their first 2 years of business. Yeah. Okay. I love how you talk about right voices, right volume. Yeah. In those early upstart days, let's say you have really no grid for being a new business owner, for being an entrepreneur. Yeah. What are the right voices that we should be listening to? Yeah.
In a different season of life, I was the lead pastor of a church. Mm-hmm. I took over a church that had 5 years of finances that were in the red, not because of financial mismanagement, mm-hmm, but because it was just a challenging chapter for this church, specifically a nonprofit.
Sure.
My number one responsibility in year one of my leadership was to stop the bleeding. So I had to make a lot of uncomfortable decisions that didn't settle well with people, constituents that were around. Mm. Well, here's the thing. I had to find people who are going to, A, help me to understand I'm not crazy, first and foremost. And then B, I had to surround myself with the right voices, the right volume, with individuals that were helping me to see what 3 years down the road was going to look like, although we were still living month to month, mm-hmm, in the organization. Mm-hmm. Well, when you have those voices, they help you to see the big picture instead of being so micro on today. Because let's be honest, as a leader of an organization, as someone launching something, as someone who lives and dies with every invoice, every rejection, or every accepted proposal, these things are hard, man.
Yeah.
These things, yeah, we don't want to talk about this in public, but these things will have you in a corner crying somewhere.
Sure.
You'll celebrate the invoices that get accepted because you had 7 rejections of invoices prior.
Yeah.
But one of the key things to do is that you reach out to someone who is not just ahead of you fiscally.
Yes.
You reach out to someone who can show you the process that they went through to become the leader that they're walking in now.
Yep.
And most people can explain to you what the process looked like. Mm-hmm. I often look at high school seniors and up to college sophomores and go, find someone who's in their early 30s and ask them, what did you have to learn to become what you're doing today?
Yes.
So that I can, here we go, not just follow the pattern for productivity,
yeah,
but follow the pattern for progress and development, which is a day-to-day rhythm.
Yep.
People celebrate folks when they score touchdowns on TV. What they don't realize is that person clocked in on a jugs machine, or they clocked in with a wide receiver coach, or they did hours worth of training that nobody watched just to have one opportunity to succeed when everybody else was paying attention.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think, you know, there's a study done by the Center for Entrepreneurship at University of Tampa. And one of the things that they looked at was, you know, what are the common denominators of entrepreneurs? It's so different than like an MBA, right? There really is kind of an art and a science to business administration, right? Like pricing models, all these different things. But they were looking like, how do you even build out a curricula for entrepreneurship, mm-hmm, other than just doing it? Mm. And one of the things that they really lasered in on as the key attribute is the entrepreneur's ability to deal with uncertainty. They have to, if you will, embrace the ambiguity, which, yeah, is another one of the cultural, yeah, values.
Shout out to Pastor Q. Come on.
Pastor Q. And his leadership has shaped so much of the way that we approach life and leadership, yep, and business and what we do as well. And what I love most about him, he used to have this saying all the time, everything's on the table until it's not.
Yes.
And it's one of those things that I've even carried with me, because sometimes, whether it's family or very close friends who have never traveled this path before, you love them. You want to share what's going on in their life, but there's not a lot of counsel or wisdom that they can give in that space, because maybe they aren't as well acquainted with uncertainty or as have the stomach for risk and some of those areas. And so you almost really have to trust the Lord to bring voices into your life that have traveled that, whether it's people that are in the foxhole with you or otherwise.
Yes.
That's one of the things that I'm finding.
Yes.
You know, it's finding those right voices that don't have opinions without experience. But have traveled it and say, hey, you're gonna be all right. Yep. It's gonna be good.
Yep.
You know?
Absolutely. So. This is why our pastor launched a whole podcast called Just Lead. Yeah. And one of the things that he constantly discusses over and over again, that leadership, it's a choice, but it's a daily choice.
Yes.
And you remain committed to that daily choice. Mm-hmm. So I'd love for our listeners today to be able to say, if you're leading and you desire to lead at a high capacity, just know you're not making decisions based upon what the status quo is.
Yeah.
You are making decisions based upon the commitment you have already made to lead well and to add value to people.
Yep.
I firmly believe that if a business is going to continually be successful, an entrepreneur is going to find not just validation, but they're going to find that little extra thing that goes, man, what I'm doing is adding value to people, is that I've got to keep my why in front of me every single day.
Yes.
There's a number of different things that we've done, but during the time that I was pastoring, one of the whys that was in front of me was I did not want finances to determine the level of impact we were able to have in people's lives.
Yeah.
When your bottom line is cinched at the end and you can't seem to see next year because you can't see next month, your impact is stifled.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to put ourselves, so the decisions we made were because we didn't want to be taxed financially. Mm-hmm. The decisions that we made were we didn't want to feel like we were moving month to month. We wanted to move, here we go, project to project, moment to moment. We wanted to move opportunity to opportunity. Mm. And so as a result, we turned it around. When I say we, there was an incredible team, including Danielle, that really helped us to turn the tide. As we turned the tide, we went from losing, being in the red for 5 straight years, to breaking even in year 6, to then never seeing the red ever again.
Yeah.
And it gave us opportunities to be able to celebrate people, to meet needs, to help a single mother with her bills for that month.
Yeah.
To be able to help. We were able to even celebrate a high school football team who had won their first district championship in over 4 decades.
That's good.
And the church was able to come through and get championship t-shirts that were given out on the field after the game was over. You say, Kyle, what difference does it make that we're giving out championship t-shirts? It's not the t-shirt that was given out. It's the fact that someone came and celebrated a group of young men, that this may be one of the key celebrations they remember for the rest of their lives, and our church got a chance to play a part in that moment.
What if I told you that your voice could be the most powerful asset in your business? And what better way to use your voice than starting a podcast? In fact, a comprehensive podcast strategy could be the missing link in your business's marketing mix. But how do you get started, and how do you make sure that it actually works? That's where my team at Made by Varsity can help. Made by Varsity is a full-service podcast agency that helps brands and entrepreneurs establish trust, build connections, and grow their business. So whether you need coaching and consulting to get set up, or you need turnkey solutions to manage and market your show from week to week, we've got you covered. Just head over to madebyvarsity.com and book a call with me today. All right, back to the episode. You know, talking about just friendship as a whole and relationships that need to be at the right volume, one of the things I've found too is that, you know, sometimes when you're navigating challenges or you're navigating struggles, there's maybe one set of people that you can kind of lean into. It takes, I think, an even more dear friend for somebody that will celebrate a success with you. Mm-hmm. It's one of the things I've always been grateful about with our friendship, because if I win a big contract and then there's been some big wins in your career as well, you're one of the first people I call. I'm one of the first people that you call. And I love that because there's such a safety in the relationship to where it goes, you know, I'm not bragging in that, right? Mm-hmm. You know that there's not like a pride attached to that. And that's a unique level. Like that's a next level type friendship, like a foxhole person that's in the trenches with you to be able to celebrate, not just to be with you in the low moments, which you need friends like that too, but also somebody that's going to be able to celebrate you when you knock it out of the park and you land that deal that maybe you didn't expect that you would.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
A lot of times what gets elevated in relationships is that I need someone who's with me when I'm down.
Yeah.
The other part is success can be threatening because it evokes levels of insecurity in others.
Exactly. And it does. It makes you more reserved to share in those successes because you don't want it to come across a certain way or whatever. It's like,
we don't want it to come across because we have acquiesced to the insecurity of others who don't know how to celebrate success.
Okay, go there.
Absolutely. Yeah. But Coach Prime says it all the time. He says, do not allow my confidence to offend your insecurity. Shout out to Coach Fry.
Sure.
But it's in this moment, though, that you look and go, hey, if I can't celebrate the fact that you won, like it's hard to win.
Yeah.
It's difficult to win.
Yes.
This is why in a soccer match, the entire team runs on the field and celebrates one goal.
Because it's hard.
Yes. This is why a team celebrates a home run, because it's difficult.
Yep.
This is why they throw parades in the middle of an entire metropolitan city when a team wins a championship. It is hard.
Yeah.
I think the earmark of a great friend, which you are one, and I'm thankful for our relationship, is that you don't just get in the foxhole with me when there's live ammunition flying at us in difficult moments and I'm getting rejected. Can you truly celebrate a win with me to where it feels like, hey, you not only were with me along the journey, but you also know how to clap for me when I'm winning.
Yes. That may be one of the big indicators that if you don't have that equal bit of getting checked in accountability and challenged, but also celebrating, you may be in the wrong room.
I would wholeheartedly agree with you. And I would also attach onto that. That if you find yourself in a space where you're wondering who's celebrating you, it's time to start looking for a different room to be a part of.
Yeah.
Because one of the things that I'll just speak on our relationship, since we have the unique privilege of being friends and discussing this topic, is that you're—
He's lucky, right, guys? Come on.
I would wholeheartedly agree and say I'm blessed, man. I'm grateful. I am grateful. But if I'm in a room and in a space where your success now seemingly puts up bigger numbers than mine, right? I have to ask the deeper question if I'm not as happy. Is your success evoking an insecurity? Am I falling into the comparison trap? Another voice that stifles relationships more often than we like to admit out loud is that, how could this person be doing this when I'm better than they are? Yeah, maybe in your head, but that person's getting the check.
Yep.
That person's getting the invoice. You fill in the blanks there.
Yeah.
Well, let's celebrate it. Man, I have some friends of mine that are wildly successful. Wildly successful. And one of my favorite things to do is to watch them to win. And one of my favorite things to tell them is, man, it is fun watching you win.
Yep.
It is fun watching you experience what you're doing right now. Yep. Because what it does is it helps me to remain in a humble posture of realizing I've been given the opportunity to be in a very small circle with this person. And the least I can do is to celebrate when they get somewhere where they've wanted to go.
But we've been trained from such a young age that life is this zero-sum game, that in order to win, somebody else has to lose. And the reality is that you can build a honey empire without tearing somebody else's building down.
Yes.
And that's why I think having those relationships that are really going to celebrate you at every step. I mean, what if somebody's listening to this and they're sort of at the point where they're kind of going, hey, I don't know that I have that. Where do I go to get it?
Yeah.
That equal bits, challenging, accountability, but at the same time, hey, like, are going to celebrate me when Because it feels lonely, right? That's the thing. Like the entrepreneurship game is lonely.
Yes.
And so where do you go to get it?
Yeah. I heard somebody say this. They said, before you branch out and launch something significant, one of the first things you need to build is a community and a support system.
Mm, that's good.
You need people around you who are going to help put things in perspective. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes what feels like a gigantic loss on an individual level is actually just a lesson when you have the right voice that can help you to see the thing that you've extracted.
Yep.
For those who are launching out, like who are you going to give permission to tell you, hey, you're done working today?
Yeah.
You just need a good friend sometimes to go, hey, we're done. We're going to go get a steak.
Yep.
And you're not going to pull out your card and try to pay for it. I'm taking you to dinner because you just need to take a deep breath.
Yeah.
Here's a rhythm that I would suggest for someone that's an entrepreneur starting a business, in a business. You're in the dog days right now. We're grinding. Mm-hmm. Decide one day every week that you are going to take completely off and unplugged from the thing that you're building.
Yeah.
Incredibly countercultural. And somebody could look and go, well, that's easy for you to say because you're a pastor. And in the Bible, it talks about having a Sabbath.
Sure.
It writes all of these spiritual rhythms. But understand, the reason why the rhythm is so powerful and the reason why God implemented it was not because he was tired. He just knew we would become tired, not just physically, emotionally, mentally.
Yep.
Your soul, the place where your decisions are made, your intentions are, the essence of who you are becomes exhausted. Here we go. And you can't produce your best when you are not at your best.
Yep.
24 hours unplugged, 24 hours taking a deep breath. Here we go. Go outside. Take a 2-hour walk.
Yeah.
Leave your phone somewhere and go sit at the beach if you're in a beach spot.
Yep.
Go sit at the river. Go sit at the lake. Go take time. This is why you and I connected over golf.
Yeah.
Golf gives us at least 4 hours where we cannot focus on anything else but the next shot.
Yeah.
And the moment we start thinking about something else than swinging the 7-iron, what do we usually do? We either chili dip it or we slice it off the course and need a new ball. Why? Yep. Because we let something in that didn't need to be there. So I think it's these rhythms of rest. You're a human being, not a human doing.
Sure.
I know it can sound cliche. I know sometimes we've heard this before, but the reality is these are the things that keep us plugged in to be able to be at our best as a person and not just at our best for the thing that we are producing.
Yep. And I think that's especially important for creatives too, are to build in those rhythms because, you know, like when you're head down and you're, whether you're editing or you're doing, you know, working head down on a particular project or something like that, intensive work, there is something about some daylight. There is something about a round of golf. There is something about unplugging that unlocks that little bit of creativity. So it's not just good for your soul, but ultimately you become more effective because you have that. I mean, even talking about some of those biblical rhythms. And again, I don't shy away from that because it's not just a religious thing. It's a wisdom thing.
Yes.
You know, you even think about the year of Jubilee where they let the land rest.
Yes.
And you're right. There are, in your business, there are sprint seasons. There are building seasons. Yeah. There are earning years. And then there are years where you have to just kind of set back and let the systems work themselves and go on autopilot and then just kind of figure out what's the next strategic move.
Yep.
And I think that that's why having that healthy community around you is so important.
Yes.
I think also the practice of gratitude is a big thing.
Yes.
And you talk a lot about this, that, you know, leaders have to develop this rhythm of gratitude in their life. Talk about why you've seen that be such an unlock for so many people when it comes to just a practice of gratitude. What does that look like?
When a leader practices gratitude, it reminds them that you did not arrive to where you are alone. Mm. No one arrives alone. No one gets where they are on their own volition, their own skills, talents, and abilities. Either someone opened the door for you,
yes,
or someone left it cracked. And gratitude is the opportunity for you to pause for a moment and remind yourself, I needed them.
Yes.
One of the greatest examples I've seen of this that I can point to immediately was the Raiders had a head coach at one point. He was only there for one season. But before a playoff game, he sat in his hotel room and he wrote a handwritten message to every player on that team. This was right before they went out and lost the biggest game of his entire coaching career in the playoffs to the Cincinnati Bengals. But the players go, one of the earmarks of that entire season was that coach reminded us over and over again that he cared about us as people. Mm-hmm. And this snapshot on Instagram of him writing handwritten thank you cards to every player and team personnel before the biggest game of his coaching career mm-hmm. spoke more to them than even the all-out effort that they gave on the field. Some of them even referred to him as a father figure. Mm. But it was because a leader took time to show gratitude for the privilege to be involved mm-hmm. because he realized the privilege and the opportunity that he had to be in that moment.
Yes.
As the more we succeed, the more we have to practice gratitude.
Yep.
Our pastor teaches us all the time about how Home Depot implemented this process with a thing called Power Hour.
Yep.
Where they would take time, they'd come across the loudspeaker mm-hmm. and say, hey, it's Power Hour. And the team in the store would drop everything they were doing and would walk up and down the aisles seeing how they could assist the customers that were there and thank people just for being in the store.
Yep. Yep.
Did they see numbers rise when it came to sales and profit? Of course they did. Mm-hmm. But they didn't do it for that reason. They mm-hmm. did it because they never wanted to lose the care that they had
yep.
for the individuals that helped them to become what they were.
And it requires this level of intentionality. It's slowing down where it's deciding and committing to step back from the task at hand yep. and look to the people that are making it happen. I mean, it is one of the best practices that I think any entrepreneur, any leader that they can do takes 30 minutes to an hour a week to just sit down and whether it's writing thank you notes or just sending an intentional text, yep. just taking a moment and leaning into people and saying, hey, because if you're not careful, especially people that you work with on a regular basis, yep. you can actually test this by going into your text message thread with them. And I remember I went through a season of this when I was doing youth ministry about 10 years ago. And there were certain people on my team that were super dependable. But then when I would look at our text messages, every single communication they got from me
yes.
was a request.
Yes.
Every single communication they got from me yes. was a follow-up. Hey, did you complete that yeah. task? Hey, did you take care of this? Hey, did you send that email? Hey, did you get this thing done? And if you're not careful, that has this weathering effect.
Yes.
Where then the relationship becomes about this commoditized. It's a
yes.
It's no longer a relationship. It becomes a contract.
Here's a healthy rhythm that I like to teach to leaders and those who are on their way into leadership. Mm-hmm. Put yourself in the position of the people that you lead or want to lead for a moment mm-hmm. and ask yourself this question. When your name and face pops up on their phone,
yes.
what emotion do you believe is evoked when they see it?
Is it, oh man, it's Brad.
Yeah.
Or is it,
Oh man, it's Brad. Yeah, exactly. So you look and you go, cool. And if you're not sure, because here we go, we can be blindsided by our blind spots. Mm-hmm. It's a courageous question, but you're a leader. So be courageous. Ask the question. Ask the people you lead. Hey, without consequence, this is not going to be held against you. I just have an honest question. When you see my name pop up on your phone because I called, or you see a text message come in, is it an eye roll or is it excitement? Is it joy or is it, crap, what do they need now?
Yeah. Some of us are probably afraid to ask that question.
But when we ask the question, though, here we go. We're practicing what it is to be a courageous leader.
Yeah.
Because we will only be as effective as we are willing to admit we have blind spots
yep.
and allow people to help us navigate through our blind areas.
Yeah. Yeah. And you do. You talk a lot about, this is one of the things that just I think in friendship conversations, talking about how people experience you.
If we're going to talk about how we lead other people and we're going to talk about how we interact with other people that we're trying to bring in as prospective clients, mm-hmm. right? Let's pause though. If you're married, when's the last time that you asked your spouse how appreciated they feel for the contribution they're making mm-hmm. to this organization?
Yep.
Because if you're married and you're an entrepreneur, a business owner, a leader, you are not doing it alone. It is a family thing.
Yes.
Well, they don't clock in with me. They don't ride in traffic. But they support you.
Yep.
So when's the last time you took a moment to reach out? Thing I do, I try as hard as I can to not take phone calls when I'm driving my kids to school or yep. picking them up from school.
Right. Sacred space.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And if people can't can't respect that in a phone call, then it just lets me know that there's now a new boundary.
Yep.
Where I don't even pay attention to their call until I'm at a spot where the kids are not involved. There are times where it's inevitable I need to take a call or make a call.
Yep.
And right after I hang up the phone, I go, hey, Savannah, Kyrie, thank you for allowing me to take that phone call. Now you have my undivided attention.
Yep.
Some would look and go, Kyle, come on. Like, they're kids. They're 9 and 5. Exactly. But I respect them as the closest people in my life.
Yes.
And if I want them to respect others down the road, their future spouse, the people they work with, work for, or their own kids one day, I want to plant seeds as a dad that just goes, Dad cared about me even when I was 5.
Yeah.
Even when I was 9, to practice what it is to be thankful.
Yeah. Yeah. To be fully present.
100%.
Dads matter. Want to talk about it. So you've got this 2-night event coming up.
Yes.
And super excited about this.
I want to yell right now, but I don't want to blow Nathan's eardrums who's got headphones.
So Dads Matter is coming. And talk a little bit about, this is your first online event, I believe, that you've hosted under your personal brand. And it's been super exciting to already see the interest, you know, behind it and the momentum behind it. So it's going to be the Thursday and Friday, I believe, before Father's Day.
Yes.
And so talk about why this direction. It's obviously something super close to your heart.
Yes.
There are so many other topics that you could have, you know, done a webinar on. Why Dads Matter?
Yeah. Why Dads Matter, number one, it's because my dad is the most influential individual in my life. I have had my dad in my life at every turn and season of my life to this point, 40 years consistently. He don't miss. This man has showed up. This man has, I'll never forget one story I could tell you is I had my car stolen a month before I was supposed to go back to college to take the next 2 years to graduate college after failing the first time. I had my car stolen through a long stretch of things. My insurance would not cover the entirety of the repair. And so every dollar I had saved to go to college, I had to spend just to get my car repaired before I went to school. The night before I was to take off for college with about $250 to my name, enough gas money to get me where I had to go until I got a job driving from Florida to Ohio. The next morning I woke up, there was $200 in cash that was sitting on the dresser because my dad said, I'll do whatever I need to do to help you get where you've got to go because I've seen you making the investment in yourself to get there. Mm-hmm. Just one example of him showing up.
Yep.
And with this influence he's carried, now I get the privilege to be able to be a dad myself. Something I've come to understand through research and time and conversation with people, that a dad's interaction and involvement in their child's life helps that child to develop emotionally.
Yes.
Helps the child to develop intellectually, mm-hmm. and helps the child to feel like they have a safe launching pad to move forward in life.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not taking anything away from moms who have been in the grind doing it as single moms or people that have had to step in as surrogates, but the numbers don't lie that when a dad is present in a child's life, they make less harmful decisions. Mm-hmm. The likelihood of them doing things that are going to lead their life into a life-giving direction, mm-hmm. and not a life-taking direction,
yep.
is higher. All of the substance abuse goes down. The numbers on these things don't lie. Mm-hmm. So dads matter.
Yeah.
And my dad took it upon himself to not only be that for us, but understand statistically, I shouldn't be in the chair that I'm in right now.
Yes.
Why? My dad didn't have a present and available dad himself. Mm. He'll tell his entire story during our Dads Matter time together that we'll have June 12th and 13th. Mm-hmm. But his dad was 50 years old when he was born. Never kissed him, never told him he loved him until the last time they saw each other before he died.
Yes.
My dad grew up without a father investing in his life.
Yep.
He made a choice with my mom that they were going to give us the home and a dad that he did not have.
Yes.
And 40 years later, I'll look back and go, I am the result of a dad who made a commitment not to try, but to train. and continue moving in the direction of being the most influential person in his son's life. Yeah. I have two younger brothers, and I'll tell you right now, we call our dad regularly. We try to spend time as often as possible. If you go through my IG feed, you'll see us at football games. One of my favorite moments we ever had was his 70th birthday. We flew him to Pittsburgh. We went to a Pittsburgh Steelers and Cleveland Browns game because he's from Pittsburgh and is a diehard Steelers fan. Mm-hmm. The last game he went to before he moved away from Pittsburgh was the game where the immaculate reception was caught by Franco Harris and turned in for a touchdown, right? What he didn't know is that we had connected with someone who he'd mentored for years, who had a relationship with Franco Harris. Mm. And we turned the corner and Franco Harris is standing there. And we got to have lunch with Franco Harris, Pittsburgh Steelers legend. Mm. But just so we're clear, there were two legends standing there that day. Mm-hmm. There was a football legend, and then there was a father legend.
Wow.
And watching those two have that conversation was a moment my two brothers and I will hold in our hearts, and we will share for generations to come. Why? Because dads matter.
Yeah. And, you know, talking about even our pastor, something he said all the time is, you know, so many leaders, I think, seek a platform, but are you famous in your own home?
Yes.
And that is something that I've carried with me. Yep. And even making this transition and taking this step of faith, not into entrepreneurship, but to a new city. I didn't move here to start a business. I moved here to be a dad.
Yes.
And so it is one of those things that's so close to my heart. And to see you launching into, I just think you're equipped for this. I think that you are the voice for this. And respecting your contributions to this, the resources are thin.
Yeah.
When it comes to fatherhood,
mm-hmm.
Godly masculine fatherhood,
mm-hmm.
right? What's one thing that you would want them to take away at the end of that experience?
Yeah.
What can they hope to? I guess what kind of wind in their sails? What kind of confidence can they walk away with after spending this time together with you and your dad?
Yep, that's a great question. I believe personally that a confident dad is a resource to his family and is an unstoppable dad. Well, what does confidence come from? Repetitions. And a lot of times, the repetitions that we put in, we need to be better resourced on what repetitions to give. We need to be better resourced. And when I say resource, I don't just mean statistics and numbers. I mean the power of a conversation. Oh, thank you for your encouragement. Thank you for nudging me along the way over the last few years to go, hey, man, I think you need to step out and really consider doing this. Now, what many people don't know is the countless hours you put in behind the scenes to be able to help set up ads and to teach me different things that go into helping to get the message of Dads Matter out. And so if you're looking for somebody who is not only brand loyal, but is somebody who is going to put all of their blood, sweat, and tears into a project, making Varsity is your first stop. And Brad is the person that you want to work with. Shameless plug, by the way.
Appreciate that.
Absolutely. On top of that, I want a dad to walk away feeling like he has somewhere to talk. Mm. He has someone to talk to.
Yeah.
He's confident in the reps he's putting in. Somebody gave me freedom one day. It's like 85% of parenting is guessing.
Yeah.
Oh, dear God, thank you.
Yeah.
Set my soul free.
Sure.
But in the guessing, here we go. In the guessing, at least I can make an educated guess.
Mm-hmm.
At least I can know, hey, I'm going to try these two or three things and let's come back to the drawing board and see how it works.
Yep.
Danielle and I fully believe that we're raising two leaders. Well, the language we have to use with leaders and the restraint that we have to practice to not stifle their spirit while they're learning how to express themselves and grow and develop. This is stuff we need help with all of the time.
Yeah.
There's a number of guys that maybe didn't have a present and available dad in their life.
Sure.
And they're breaking a generational cycle of fatherlessness.
Yes.
In their home.
Yep.
I want to be there for that guy because that was my dad.
Yes.
There are guys that go, I had a great dad, and now I don't know if I can live in that shadow or step into those shoes. Well, number one, nobody asked you to step into those shoes.
Yep.
Why? Because you've been asked to build on the foundation you were given. I just want guys to walk away with confidence and the reps they're putting in to produce consistency.
Yep.
The greatest thing a dad can do is to be present, not just physically, but emotionally and spiritually for the kids that he's been blessed with. whether it's a co-parenting scenario mm-hmm. where you're learning how to do it in the time that's been allotted to you, mm-hmm. whether they're in the home, whether you're navigating through grief because of the loss of a loved one or the detachment because someone is incarcerated right now. There's so many different spots where fatherhood takes place.
Yep.
And dad's matter is a spot where we want that guy to see himself as, I can be in this community. I can find resourcing. I can gain confidence. And this came through a conversation.
Yeah.
This is not a call to guys to do better.
Yeah.
This is a call to dads that go, hey, I'm giving what I've got. And every day I'm just trying to level up because fatherhood is not my side hustle. It's my legacy in motion.
Come on. Dads matter. June 12th and 13th.
June 12th and 13th. LyleRogers.co is where you can sign up and get the Zoom link immediately.
100%. So link will be in the description. So make sure that you guys register for Dads Matter. I'm going to be there. I'm super excited. We're going to be hanging out. And man, I'm so excited for this. I'm so excited for you as you're stepping into this next chapter to building up like more people. It's what's great about these ads that we're running right now is that there's a lot of people that are getting introduced to you for the first time.
Yes.
And so the secret is out.
Yeah.
And I'm really, really thrilled about how this is going to resource dads and men that want to be dads even. And it's going to be great. So, man, so appreciate you coming through the studio
Thank
today.
Thank you, Brad. Hopefully I'm in varsity today. In.
Hey, come on, we're in here too. And then come on, we're going to pop out to a baseball game and and have a good time. So, hey, we haven't gotten Kansas City barbecue yet. We got to make that happen.
This
what
is
we
true.
Doing?
I heard Arthur Bryant's is a spot we might need to pull up
that
on.
That might be one. There's a few others. Yeah, but absolutely.
A few others.
Oh, yeah.
You sound like a KC regular now, man.
Yeah, we'll see. But I mean, North Carolina barbecue, you know how I go. I need my vinegar.
He's on this. That vinegar sauce.
Yeah.
Guys, pray. Here it goes.
It's all good. So appreciate you, bro. Love you.
You too. Love you, man.
Hey, fam. Thanks so much for joining us on Making Varsity. If you enjoyed this week's content, make sure to tap that subscribe button, leave us a rating and review, and share this episode with a friend. For more resources, check out the show notes below or join me on YouTube. Love you guys, and I'll see you next time.